Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Once was a sweet thing, baby. Held out a loving hand. Now I reach to kiss your lips. But touch don't mean a thing. And that's a ghost at me.
Now, Stevie Ray bringing us back the late grade SRV, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, my new one, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. I'm having a great visit with Chad Moutray, Chief Economist for the National Association of Manufacturers, NAM, NAM.org is the website. Chad puts out a number of reports every month on the manufacturing industry, on the economy in general. Chad, thanks again for being here. I want to incorporate another challenge that the manufacturing sector has that's associated with the supply chain. I mean, the supply chain is taking a hit right now, partially because, you know, I mean, I've been building a house for the last year. We finally finished, but I know some people said, yeah, we have your stuff, but we can't get it out of the warehouse because the warehouse is working at half speed or a third speed or whatever. And so that's got to create some bollocks in the middle of everything there. What do you think? What are your people saying about that?
So, yeah, just think of this whole time. The disruptions have been pretty significant, right? Just going back early on, obviously, you know, this crisis began in China, right? So there was a lot of issues early on in that March time frame of, right, of when can I get my, you know, the inputs I need, right? And obviously the ports were closed, et cetera. So there was a lot of issues there. Then you add to that, just think of the toilet paper phenomenon, because that's what everyone thinks of.
Right.
The shifting demands, right? I mean, it wasn't like they didn't make it before. They just had, you know, think of food and a lot of other things. They were making it more for commercial use instead of home use. You had to now shift from where you were producing to now something else, and so there's been some pretty significant disruptions in demand, right, which has shifted, you know, the supply conversation. And then, obviously, to your point, you know, there's issues with, you know, you just can't make enough, right? And then you also have workers, you know, you have to have social distancing and a whole series of other challenges there in terms of production,
right,
that you got to work your way through.
Well, then I talked to a trucking executive earlier in the week. He talked about how they had to shift, you know, and how the you know, they used to deliver a lot to restaurants. All of a sudden, you know, they're not doing that so much, and so that's a bollocks. You know, that's kind of a bollocks up in their world, but also the stuff that they carried. He did say that thank goodness he didn't get stuck with a bunch of inventory on his refrigerated trucks. He was able to offload everything. But you talked about, you brought up China. When we look forward, looking forward in your crystal ball, I know you got one because I've seen it. When you look at going forward, do you see us being as dependent upon China as we have been in the past, or do you see there being less of that? And what I'm encouraging, which is more redundancy, meaning parallel supply chains out, not part of China. What do you think?
So I agree with your last comment there. I think companies in general are everyone I talk to says that they're reevaluating their supply chain, right? And truth be told, they were already doing that, right? The trade war and just a lot of other things that have happened over the last few years, companies were already looking at where can we have redundancies in the system, where can we find other suppliers, how can we, you know, costs have been rising in China for quite some time, right?
Right.
And so you already were having a lot of production that was moving away from China to other pockets of Southeast Asia or Mexico or to the U.S., right? The U.S. has obviously benefited from that as well. And mm-hmm. So these trends were already happening pre-pandemic, but like a lot of things, it's really just accelerated pretty rapidly mm-hmm. in the last few months as companies have said, okay, I got to really do this.
A lot of people are calling it reshoring, but that presumes it's coming to the United States. I'm using the term, you may have heard me use this before, but I'm using the term hemispherization, not globalization, but hemispherization, meaning I'm okay. I'd like it to come to the United States, but I'd be happy if it just came to this hemisphere so we could get it without crossing an ocean. and keep it in our part of the world. I hate to sound, I don't want that to sound xenophobic, but I think it's a, you know, a security issue. What do you think?
And I think, you know, I think that's a smart way to look at it, because it is kind of overstated to think all of it's going to come to the U.S., right? Companies locate for a whole variety of reasons where they locate. And a lot of, and Mexico was, has been a huge beneficiary of a lot of that resource.
Well, we got a brand new trade agreement, for God's sake. You know, let's let it work.
Now, with that said, we are the MAM, so I have to say this. We would like as much production in the U.S. as possible.
Of
right?
course, and I would too.
So we've got to put policies in place to make that happen, right? And I know we talked about this, I think, the last time I was on your show. That means, you know, smart tax policy and regulatory policy,
right,
and infrastructure and workforce and a lot of things that really we need to do to make sure that, that when people think about where they're going to relocate their company or start a new business, the U.S. is part of that conversation.
Right.
And I think that that's been happening, but I think we can continue to strengthen it.
Well, I think when we think about American manufacturing, we need to remember that, that not too many places are vertical with all their parts. Even if they are even if they do put a finished product out the door, probably 3/4, if not more, of the components of what they assemble comes from somebody else. Maybe one little bitty, teeny tiny part comes from Mexico, and six others come from Indonesia. But so we have to remember that's manufacturing these days, and so folks, you know, again, we just need to pull this stuff back. And with the energy independence of America these days, and the current tax code and the current regulatory state, this is going to accrue to a quick recovery of manufacturing going forward. We come back. I'm going to get Chad to talk a little bit about the future of manufacturing. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.